Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, one step, one trait, one day at a time. Welcome to Counting Towards Sinai, a project of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Moskowitz, and this week we're focusing on the Midah of Kinah, jealousy. One of the most important ideas that we find about the Midah of Kinah, which is the Midah of jealousy, is actually found in Pirkei Avos. So in Perek Dalid, the fourth Perek, Mishnah Kavches, the 28th Mishnah, we learn as follows. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer, Hakina v'hatava v'hakavod, motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. Jealousy, desire, and the pursuit of honor remove a person from ha'olam, from the world. So the first question we'd really have to address is, what's ha'olam? What's the world that kina seems to remove us from? So we have two options. Ha'olam can be referring to olam hazeh, and it can be referring to olam haba. Olam hazeh, this world, or olam haba, the next world. So let's start with olam haba. Why would jealousy make a person lose their olam haba? Granted, like, we can understand that somebody who experiences jealousy might end up committing some sort of hate, some sort of sin. They might just get involved in something inappropriate, and that might cause them to lose some of their olam haba, or maybe they'd earn demerits in olam haba, but to lose all of their olam haba? I mean, that's like a little extreme. I mean, what could they really possibly do out of jealousy that would be so appalling that they would lose all of their olam haba? So we actually find a very interesting account in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Beis, page 102, which discusses an interesting account of someone named Yeravam ben Nevat, who was the king who's pretty much responsible for dividing the Malchus Beis David, the Davidic kingdom, into Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. And as such, in addition to other reasons, we consider Yeravam to be a pretty big rush. So in this Gemara, Hashem comes to Yeravam and says to him, Yeravam, repent, do tshuva. And Hashem sweetens the deal by adding an incentive and says to him, Yeravam, if you do tshuva, then we will stroll together in Olam Haba as a threesome. Okay, so who's this threesome? So Hashem says, the threesome is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Hashem, Yeravam, and Ben Yishai. So Ben Yishai is David HaMelech. Well, Yeravam hears this proposal and he responds with one very telling question. And what was his question? It's as follows. He asks, Mi Barosh, who is going to be at the head of this threesome? Who's going to be leading? And Hashem responds, Ben Yishai. And Yeravam's response to that is shocking. Yeravam says, I hachi lo be'ina. If that's the case, if Ben Yishai is going to be the leader, if he's going to be at the head of our threesome, then I'm not interested. And he effectively declines Hashem's offer to accept his tshuva and merit a glorious olam haba. And what was the cause? What caused him to refuse this, like, offer that was almost impossible, pretty much, to refuse? It was kinah. And indeed, Chazal teach that Yeravam is one of the few people who did not merit a portion in olam haba. He forfeit his olam haba over kinah. So that's our first paradigm. But the word olam can also refer to olam hazeh, which means that kinah, jealousy, can actually cause me to forfeit my olam hazeh, this world. So on the one hand, we can understand this on a very basic level, that kinah can make my life very unpleasant by coercing me to focus on what other people have and what I don't have, and that's clearly not an enjoyable way to spend our life in this world, constantly looking at someone else's plate to see if they have more than we do, right? It's just not a particularly pleasant way to live. And in this way, we're certainly impeding our olam hazeh through kinah. But I think that's an even more profound way to understand this. Imagine you're in the market to buy a new car, and after doing research and making sure that you have the funds to be able to finance your new car, you go to the dealership and you pick out the car of your dreams, and it's literally everything you've ever wanted. It's the color, the upholstery, the different features, the add-ons, anything you ever imagined you would have wanted in a car. And this is also the car that you can afford, so that obviously makes it even more desirable. So you bring this car home and you drive it around for, let's say, a couple of days or so, and you're just enjoying all the different features of this car, and it's fabulous, and you're just so thrilled to drive around. A few days later, your next-door neighbor pulls into his driveway with his new car. And his new car, it's the more expensive model of yours. More features, more upgrades, the works. And when you see him in his shiny new car, all of a sudden, your car just doesn't feel the same. It's almost like some invisible force just suddenly devalued the car that you literally, half an hour ago, were so thrilled with and so satisfied with. And that invisible force is actually the force of kinah. And this is why kinnik can destroy our olam hazeh, because it can take something that we were so satisfied with, so we just felt so good about and so whole with, something that gave us so much joy and happiness, and just mysteriously devalue it, make it feel like it does just doesn't measure up anymore. And the real danger with kinnah is that it doesn't stop at material physical things, acquisitions, things that we own and have. But kinnah can also prey on the intangible, the more important, more sublime areas of our life, like our relationships, like the way we feel about our children, the way we feel about our siblings, our parents, our friends, our spouse, ourself. Because potentially anything is susceptible to midas hakinnah. And the only way that we can really ensure that we're going to be able to appreciate, enjoy, and feel satisfied with our olam and not be in a state of motzi'in es ha'adam min ha'olam, it's to address this mita in like a real fundamental and meaningful way to try to understand, where did this mita come from? What triggers it? Are there specific people that trigger my midas hakinnah? Are there specific situations that trigger midas hakinnah in me? And what can I do about it? What type of strategies are there for me to be able to work around and overcome this mida? And hopefully in doing so, we're going to be able to get a better handle on this very destructive mida ra'ah, which is also one of the most very human and very basic of negative midos that we may have. I'm looking forward to doing this with you over the coming week, and thank you for learning together.